The Kanyanka Haga of Ganasdaga had been resisting an illegitimate Grand Chief and the Canadian government had supported his coup in January of 2004. In addition to having to fight three layers of Canadian government, they must also do battle with a corporation bent on owning and destroying their land. Local community organizer Sonia Gagnier begins the interview with a story from a meeting held in Oka, a meeting hosted by the Quebec government, and which ostensibly served as a forum for interested parties to voice their concerns over the proposed mine. We will hear otherwise.
We have demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that our project is feasible, financially viable, and environmentally sound. We are now ready to move ahead. It says it here. This is what I find funny. In their 2003 financial report that they gave out to the people that were there, they boast in their financial statement, okay? And here they say, you know, one of the things that they said here on page 13 of their report, it says that NioCan takes great care to minimize these risks by carefully choosing consultant and advisors that are experienced leaders in their field, and also by targeting development in regions that are politically stable. And I told them, that's what I said, hello, you know, Ganasdaga is far from politically stable, and here you are putting up, you're starting this mining project, you know, so does it make any sense? Yeah, so there's lots of problems with that. I mean,
so I want to talk a little bit about some of the political connections, because everything seems to be really closely intertwined with the elections and the corporate the bodies that they're using, like the KMPG. All the political.
Well, when that was brought up at the BAP, which we brought up, I mean, in their financial report again, it says that KPMG is their auditors. When we spoke to KPMG about maybe a month ago concerning our elections, because we thought it would be a conflict of interest because they're doing stuff for NioCan, and they said, no, it wouldn't be a conflict of interest because we're just doing figures for them. If we were actually doing studies for them, it would be a different story. And I said, really? I said, so then it would be a conflict of interest if you did do a study? And they said, oh, yes. And so I said, oh, that's pretty interesting. I said, because I have information right in front of me, I said, that states that you did a social economical study for NioCan. And then at that point, they said, well, I guess then we can't do your elections because it would be a conflict of interest. So, you know, and then he sends this letter off to us, the cover letter, which I was... Oh my God, you know, like he has his nerve to sit there and tell us that the letter basically says, I hope that everything is to your liking type thing. And then he goes on to say that in so many words, we can't discuss anything with you on further, and we can't give you any correspondence until the new council comes in. And since your elections are imminent, we'll talk at that point. And it's like, so we called them up. And I didn't talk to him, but a friend of mine, Sheila Bonsville, did, and she called him up, and she yelled at him and said, what do you think, we just fell off the turnip truck? She says, excuse me, she says, but she did ask you for correspondence between council and you. Your propaganda and your fancy flyers and your information packages does not constitute correspondence between Ganasdaga and you. And she says, and what the hell does our elections have to do with it? What business is it of yours? We didn't talk about the elections here. We have a letter that Pearl Bonsville wrote back in November 3rd of 2003 to Eric Meldoff, the chief federal negotiator, and she states, it has come to our recent attention that the municipality of Oka, Quebec, along with private investors, intends to purchase and develop the lands and assets presently being occupied and held by the Père Trappiste. They're the ones that own the abbey in the Trappiste, and that abbey was up for sale at one point, and the Mohawks tried to buy it because it's within our land claims. And actually, Eric Meldoff should have been looking out for our interests where that was concerned and didn't step in at all.
Is that normal, though, that you have to buy back land that's yours? Like,
No, not really. Yeah. They're supposed to negotiate to get that land for us back.
Yeah,
it's not. Like, we don't. We're not going to buy what we already own.
What was stolen?
Yeah, and it's been stolen by the Sulpicians, and it's been stolen by the government, and it's been stolen by everybody in a day. And the Mohawks are. It's like the same thing as what's going on right now. Everybody has their fingers in the cookie jar where Gunasadag is concerned, except for Gunasadag. Where everybody's looking out for our interests and doing all our stuff, all the negotiations and everything on our behalf without our input. Doesn't make sense. So I'll continue the letter, and it says, as you are aware, the Mohawks of Gunasadaga have always held a claim against all the lands within the seigniory of the Lake of Two Mountains, which includes the 800 acres currently occupied by the Trappists. In March of 91, the Government of Canada committed itself to enter into negotiations with the Mohawks of Gunasadaga in order to resolve our outstanding grievances with respect to our claim. As a result of these discussions, Canada and the Mohawks agreed to work towards a fair and just solution through a Memorandum of Understanding, which is the MOU, and an Agreement in Principle to Negotiate, the APN. On the primary commitments outlined in the APN was for Canada to continue to acquire third-party interests, which would eventually lead to a consolidated land base for the Mohawks of Gunasadaga. It is important to note that the Père Trappistes are not innocent third-party purchasers to the land. As you are aware, this is the same religious order that followed some of the Mohawks of Gunasadaga from the Montreal region in the mid-1700s, as such only gained rights to the lands via the neglect of the Crown and Right of Canada to protect the lands and interests of Gunasadaga, as represented by the seigneurial grant and through the various treaties that Gunasadaga was participant to. Furthermore, recent case laws confirmed that there is always a duty to consult First Nations when a plausible claim of Aboriginal rights or title to land has been asserted but not yet proven. Given the historical occupation of the Mohawks to the land, there is a responsible probability that the Mohawks can establish Aboriginal rights to these lands. This probability, along with our claim, in addition to the process agreed to by Canada and the Mohawks to settle our claims, place a duty on the Crown and Right of Canada to ensure that the interests of Gunasadaga are protected against avoidable transactions that would once again limit the ability of the Mohawks to acquire additional lands for a land base or lands for economic development. And she goes on to say, it is well known that the Mohawks of Gunasadaga have always maintained their historical and ancestral interests in these lands. Taken altogether, there is a duty on the part of the Crown to ensure that Gunasadaga is consulted and to accommodate our interests in the lands, and as such, the Mohawks are stakeholders to any discussions on the development of these lands. Consequently, the Mohawks of Gunasadaga consider the above-mentioned lands to fall within the realm of third-party interests that can be purchased by Canada according to principles outlined in the APN and the MOU agreed to by the Mohawks of Gunasadaga and Canada. Therefore, we are requesting for you, as a representative of the Crown and Right of Canada, to therefore intercede on our behalf by notifying all parties considered the purchase of mentioned lands of Gunasadaga's claim and stakeholder interests, as per the MOU and the APN. I cannot emphasize enough the number of community members who have approached me as chief, reminding me that any attempt to sell these lands to innocent third-party purchasers will be perceived by the Mohawks of Gunasadaga as a further yet preventable erosion of our interests in the seigniory of the Lake of Two Mountains. This result favors no party. I look forward to hearing from you in the near future, and please do not hesitate to contact me for any additional information, Chief Pearl Bonspiel of the Gunasadaga Mohawk Band Council. Now, she writes this to Eric Meldoff, and you know, this clearly states what our land claims are about, okay? And when we explained that to BAP during the hearings, and I explained to him that he falls within our land claims, and I even brought a map there in which I showed him that Niokan lies right in the realm of that, right in the center, and he still dares to tell us that we are not involved in any of this, that the Gunasadaga Mohawks do not fall within the geometrical perimeters. I'm not crying about coming to test our water when I know it's contaminated. I'm not crying about that. What we're there fighting about is the fact that you have no right, as the municipality of Oka and Niokan, to start doing a project such as the Niokan project and without consulting the Mohawks, who have a vested interest as far as our land claims go. And this is what I'm talking about. He thinks we were there complaining about the, you know, the drinkable water and all that. That isn't a complaint. That is a major issue with us, the radon and all of that uranium. But at the same time, you're also doing this within our land claims without consulting the community. And this is not something that we're going to allow to happen.